Well, good morning. You know, we're going to try that again. Good morning. Sitting back here listening to the testimonies, I was so encouraged. And I don't have to preach this morning. If there's more testimonies, I'd love to see people lined up on both sides here waiting to share. If you'd like to share a testimony, I will sit down and allow you just to do that this morning. Maybe there's a prayer need somebody has. We don't always have to follow protocol. Okay, we'll move ahead. Thank you. God bless you. Sheldon, you shared that scripture, and I can't even remember the scripture, about helping those entertaining strangers. I want to give you a title of a book to read. And I really would love for all of you, I'm not requiring this, but I would love if you would read this book. The book is called Under the Overpass. How many of you heard about that book? Okay, one over here, some over here. I'm reading it right now. It's about two homeless guys that chose to be homeless. Believers. They chose to be homeless and go into the homeless community and live with them for 5 months. Not saying why they're doing what they're doing. And as I watched what the churches did to these homeless people, I was embarrassed. A shame for us as believers. I'll give you one instance. They were in a restaurant. And this is not my message this morning. But they were in a restaurant, and hopefully I'll say this correctly. But there were a couple groups that came in and looked at them and sat at the other end. As they sat there, they noticed, the two homeless guys noticed they had Bibles. And in conversation between these groups, they were asking, what do you use? What translation do you have? What translation do you have? They started talking. And before they left, they told each other, we'll pray for you. We'll pray for each other. And they left, and the homeless guys were left on their own. Who am I? What am I doing? Maybe that should be our message this morning. Title of my message this morning, Passwords. I titled that same message, or titled 3 weeks ago, I titled my message, Passwords, also, with the idea that we all use passwords. Who remembers the password for my computer we talked about? Who remembers the password that we were focusing in on? Worship. Tiffany wants to get in my computer. She remembered. Worship. I was hoping we understood or we caught that word worship and we used it in our everyday walk to remember we need to worship. This morning I have a password that I like for us to think about. And thinking about a password, this is something that helps us in technology to enter into an app, to enter into a place where we want to read or whatever. So I want this to be a reminder to us this morning. I've titled this password, Listen to Hear. Now, we may argue it should be Hear to Listen. It should be whatever. Listen to Hear. And we'll understand this a little bit further. We're going to be in Judges chapter 6, if you'd like to turn there. We're going to begin reading in verse 25. Last time we used Gideon, and we're again going to use Gideon this morning. We'll kind of draw two ideas out of this short passage here this morning. And I realize time is already slipping away, so I'll try to keep moving, but I really don't want to miss what I've got together here. Let's read in Judges verse 25 through verse 32. And again, this is where after Gideon had met the angel, had met the Lord here, he was fearful because he thought maybe he would die because he had met the Lord. The Lord told him, no, you will not die. So he built an altar, and he called it the God of Peace, or Jehovah Shalom. And now we come to verse 25, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household, and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, but he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be God, if Baal is God, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down this altar. Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. That's as far as we're going to read there. So as we look at this in verse 25, there's a phrase there that says that the Lord said unto him. Now Gideon had the opportunity of not hearing, not listening. But before we get to that, let's think a little bit about what Gideon had to do as he listened, first of all. What did Gideon have to do? Gideon had to remove the idol. Before he could build an altar, he had to remove the wrong thing that was there. Take the idol and take away the groves. So he did what he was asked to do because he heard. So that got me to thinking, what is an idol? Somebody tell me, what is an idol? Okay, something that takes the place of God. Anything that we value higher than God. Matthew 22:37. Maybe I'm pushing the wrong one, Dan. Bottom one, right? Okay. We have what? There we go. Thank you. Matthew 22, verse 37 says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And as I look at this verse, I get to thinking, what is an idol? We have the idea of what an idol is. Am I loving God, like it says here, with my heart, all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind? Is that how I'm loving, or am I reserving a little bit for myself, where it eventually may become an idol? So another question, do we have idols today? What would you say to that? Yep, we have idols today. All right? Maybe we ought to start thinking what some of those idols are today. Maybe it's something that I need to write down, repent of, and maybe come back to later and see if I've actually allowed God to remove this idol. 1 John 2:15-16 say, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's pretty clear. If we love the world, the things of the world, his love is not within us. Or our love for him. For all that is in the world, now listen to these three. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. There he explains pretty clearly what's worldliness right here. And if we're harboring those in our hearts, instead of the verse we just got done reading about being totally submitted and committed to him, we end up having an idol in our heart. Let me ask you this, and I had to ask myself this. How do I spend my time? Not my free time. I'm talking about my everyday time. How do I spend my time? How am I using the money I've been blessed with? Am I finding more joy in things than in loving and serving God? So when I take inventory of my thoughts, I have to wonder, what do I spend most of my day thinking about? Maybe that'll tell me a little bit where I'm at as far as idolatry goes. Remember here, about two of my messages back, two or three, I made the comment, what we think is who we really are. So think about that for a minute. So an idol isn't necessarily something bad. Let's understand that. An idol isn't necessarily something bad. It might be something good, but it's not something we want to hold higher than God. That's when it becomes wrong. So an idol is not necessarily something bad. But Gideon had to remove what was there before he could place the altar to worship. You and I need to ask God to cleanse us so we can worship. I was thinking this morning when Marcus asked us to lift our hands. I was at a service one time where the pastor got up and he asked us to worship with lifted hands. Many didn't. At the end of the song, the pastor said, there's many of you who are not lifting hands. And his comment was, if your hands are not clean, come to the altar. Let's clean our hands so we can worship. I had to think about that this morning, Marcus, as I lifted my hands. Are my hands clean? That's what he's asking of us. Sometimes as we worship, the Holy Spirit will bring something to us that we need to repent of in our worship. And then we stop worshiping, we repent, and we go back and worship is just a bit sweeter. Many of us get the idea, and I'm not pointing at us here as a congregation, but this is in our churches, that our worship, our seeking God, is somewhat of a maybe a 2 or 3, maybe a 5 minute chore that we do. And then we'll check it off of our list because I've done it. But I believe it's a connecting with God in a relationship and learning to be still before Him. Learning to be still before Him. Have we got that? As we are still before Him and we open ourselves to Him, it's then He begins to speak. The Spirit begins to work. And maybe it's something we don't like to hear. He wants us, like I said, to repent of. Maybe He's saying, worship. Draw near and worship Me. Maybe this is why many of us today, because we have made that a chore, have a lukewarm dedication. Maybe I should ask, is there something like a lukewarm dedication? I was listening to a message this week, and this pastor was talking about his family, and he said, we have our family come over once a week, and we come over, we have supper just to reconnect. We're together as a family. It's a beautiful time. He said, here a while back, he said, my son and his wife and the children came over, and he said, I had my device out, and my son walked over to me, and he looked at what I was doing, and he said, Dad, what are you doing? And he said, I'm on social media. And what the son said really struck me. I'm not preaching against social media this morning, but the son told his dad, he says, Dad, what you're getting on social media is going to distract you from the Father. And Dad stepped back. It's like, wow, my son's got it better than I do. So the question I had to ask myself, what am I allowing in my life, not just social media, What am I allowing in my life that is stopping me from having complete relationship with God? Am I so connected to that thing, whatever it is, that it's holding me back? I don't want to go there because I know there are things that I need to be working on. And I'm guessing there are things that you need to be working on also. So let's move a little further. Oh my, I should have been through these and I didn't. Danny, I'm getting all messed up here. Okay, this is where we want to be. So thinking about God speaking, thinking about us hearing God and being able to, in our listening to God, really hear, because that's what He wants us to do. The question comes up, does God speak to us today? How many of you would say God speaks to us today? Kind of a dumb question, isn't it? But in reality, have we heard God speak lately? If we say He speaks to us today, have I really heard Him speak to me lately? That's a challenge for me. It's a challenge for all of us. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Jesus was speaking to the Jews that were believing, but yet they were doubting Him. And as I read this verse, it began to shake me. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not. You don't hear His words because ye are not of God. Am I hearing God's words? When I read the Word of God, is it sinking? Is it making sense? Is it speaking into my life? Maybe we really don't want to hear the voice of God because it's going to create something within me that I don't want to give up. I don't want to commit. I don't want to submit to what He has. Maybe I don't talk to God unless I have a specific need or run into a problem. And then I wonder, God, why don't You answer me when I come into a crisis? Because we don't have that relationship. Maybe I have a schedule that drives me so hard that I don't have time. I think every one of us in our congregation here would be, how do I say this? Financially, we'd be okay. We wouldn't need all these things going on. And we'd have more time to hear. Because what I consider necessary, what I consider a priority, I am going to make time for. What is my priority? The key is to forget about formulas and gimmicks for hearing God. If you go online, you can look and you can start typing hearing God. You'll have number 1 through 8, number 1 through 10, whatever. Follow these steps to hear God. But I believe the key is to forget about formulas and gimmicks for hearing from God and to focus instead on developing the kind of relationship with God that will empower you to hear God speaking regularly. Not just occasionally, but regularly. The closer you get to God, the more you can enjoy ongoing conversations with Him, both listening and hearing from Him. And the more God will use these conversations to transform you into the person He wants you to become. That sounds like we're talking to God and He's talking back to us. There's conversation. That's what He desires. I've said this before. If I want to get to know my wife, it's not going to be a one-sided conversation. I'm going to hear her. She's going to hear me. And we're going to grow closer together that way. But it takes time. How does God speak to us today? And some of these questions are going to sound the same as the one before. Maybe have the same ideas in the different verses. But how does God speak to us today? John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." So how does God speak to us today? It says there that he that heareth my word. Maybe we hear it as we read it. Maybe we hear it as the preacher talks about it. But I want to get something really, really clear to you this morning. Dana and I cannot give you everything you need. We can preach from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, but we're not going to give you all you need. You have to go there yourself. You have to read and absorb what's there. And spend time seeking the Father in this. So I wrote down a few other ways that God speaks to us, and I don't have scriptures for these, some things that I thought about. But yes, God speaks to us today through His Word. He speaks to us through other believers. He speaks to us through creation, through open and closed doors. He speaks to us through music, through songs. He speaks to us through His Spirit. He speaks to us through dreams. But however He speaks to us, it's always going to align with the Word. Let's be sure of that. There are many today that are saying, God gave me this or God gave me this, and it does not line up with the Word. That's false. It has to line up with the Word. That's how we know that He's speaking to us. How can I hear God speak? Psalm 119:105 says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, this may be a little bit questionable, too. How can I hear Him speak? As I get into the Word, and as I focus on hearing Him, listening to Him, He speaks to me. So that's how I'm hearing Him speak, as I get into the Word. And now, as I hear Him, He guides me. He shows me what path to take. Hope you're following there. He's a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. As I listen to Him, as I hear Him speaking to me, it gives me direction where I'm going. Now here's an interesting one that took me in circles for a bit. What is the result of listening to and hearing God speak? Somebody give me an answer on that one out of Scripture. What is the result of listening and hearing God? Can you think of a scripture? Okay, the flaming bush. What else? A transformed mind. Very good. It's not the verse I'm looking for. I'm being picky here. Okay, hear the word of God and do it. How do you know? Oh boy. He's seeing things anyhow. So then, faith cometh by hearing. When we hear God, we get faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let's connect another verse to that. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So we need to hear. Are you following through on that one? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And as I kept comparing these two and trying to put these into order, I began to realize we've got to hear. That comes through the Word of God. Our faith comes from that. And if we want to please God, that's our desire, isn't it? Do you want to please God? That's why we're here. To honor Him and to please Him. But it is impossible to please Him without faith. But it all comes back to hearing and learning through His Word. It is so important that we hear God. It is actually a matter of life and death, whether we hear God or whether we don't hear God. That's pretty important, isn't it? Mary heard God. Some of you know some of Mary's testimonies that she shared over the years. Mary heard God. She had a faith. And because of that, I don't doubt where she's at today. I'm excited for Mary. When we heard the other night that she passed, where's Mary? What is she experiencing right now? God wants us to hear what He has to say to us. I jumped ahead here. I don't have a verse down here that I want to use. It's in my notes here. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice," and we look at that scripture, let me finish reading. "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." When I look at that verse, I think the new birth. He's knocking. I can see the picture when I was a kid. Jesus standing, knocking. His side did not have a doorknob on it. I have to open the door. I stand at the door and knock. He's asking us, can I come in? If any man open the door, I will come in and will sup with him and he with me. We will have connection. I see that as the new birth, but I also see that as our everyday walk of life. Inviting him in every day through his Spirit to converse with him, to commune with him. But he tells us in Psalm 46:10, he says, "Be still and know that I am God." It is so hard to be still today because of everything that is going on. Can I challenge you this week? Let's try to be still before Him and know that He is God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. I'm going to read out of Luke 8, and again, I'm going to read this out of the New Living. If you would like to follow, if you have a New Living Testament with you, you're welcome to, or in King James. But I'm going to read out of Luke chapter 8. This was right after Jesus shared with the disciples about the seeds and the soil. Verse 9 says, "His disciples asked him what this parable meant. And this was his reply. He says, 'You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God. But I use parables to teach the others so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they look, they won't really see. When they hear, they won't really understand.'" So this is the meaning of the parable. Pay close attention as we go down through here. There's a lot tied to hearing. I never saw that in this parable. There's a lot tied to hearing. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. The seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message, only to have the devil come and take away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. They heard the message, but the devil came in and removed it. The seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while. Then they fall away when they face temptation. The seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And so they never grow into maturity. That's the first three. Listen to the fourth one. And the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word and cling to it and patiently produce a huge harvest. No one lights a lamp and then covers it with a bowl or hides it under a bed. A lamp is placed on a stand, where its light can be seen by all who enter the house. For all that is secret will eventually be brought into the open. And everything that is concealed will be brought to light and made known to all. Now, this is the last verse in this chapter, or in this section here. So pay attention how you hear. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from them. Follow through that. Those who listen to my teaching, more understanding is going to be given. How we hear is going to depend on how much we get. If I choose not to hear what I know, what does it say? It's going to be taken away. Is hearing important? It is very important that we hear. I'm going to close with a verse that we read already. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Unless we read and we hear the word and do it. That's also in Scripture. We will have no direction how to walk. We will not have a light for our path. And our goal is to reach heaven. That's our goal. But if we're not in the Word, if we're not listening to Him, not hearing, is a pretty strong guarantee that we won't reach the goal of heaven. We're going to reach something. But it's not going to be heaven, because that's really not our goal if we're not following Him. God bless you this morning. I hope you understand where I'm at here. Take time this week to just stop. Get on your knees before God. Get up long before the sun comes up. I was up this morning at 3:30 seeking the face of God, and then I went outside for a bit. And I looked up at the stars. And I told God, you know each one of these stars up there. You know everyone by name. Not one of them is lost. He knows every single one of us right here this morning. He knows our deepest desires. He knows if our desire is for Him or for ourselves. He wants so much to have connection. He wants so much for us to hear what He has to say to us. He will not marry to hear, because He will not marry with Him. He wants you, Chad. He wants all of us with Him. But it's going to depend whether we hear what He has for us. Would you stand with me this morning as we pray? Thank you, Lord, for Your word. Thank You for Your desire to commune with us. Thank You for how important You show us that it is to hear, to really, really listen. God, we confess that we're so busy. We confess, Lord, that we just don't take the time that we should take. Father, this morning I pray that You would move amongst us here, that You would put desire in our hearts to be still before You and to allow You to speak to us and make so that we can hear. Bless our congregation here. I pray, Lord, that we would grow in You. And when the roll is called up yonder, Lord, that we'd all be there to spend our eternity with You. Father, we bless You and we love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.